Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at TriCountyContractingWI.com.
What had happened was, if you're watching on the live stream, Eric was in a different spot, and I can't have him over there because then I can't see you.
So it bothered you more than it bothered me.
I turned your thing on. I couldn't see him, Dev, so I need to, you know...
Yeah, you have to turn to your left instead. Yeah.
Well, so. The rest of the show is going to be really good now.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Petrano.
Coming up on 6:12 in election news today, you heard at the top of the hour news, the state Supreme Court will not hear a challenge to having Green Party candidate Dr. Jill Stein on the ballot. So that's that. She and the Green Party will appear in front of you on November 5th. Now, the Wisconsin Election Commission meets today, 11 a.m., and more important decisions loom as they relate to this upcoming election, namely who else is going to be on the ballot for president here in Wisconsin. Barring the unforeseen, either Vice President Harris or former President Trump is going to win Wisconsin in our 10 electoral votes in November, right? And one of these two is going to win the White House. Our state in the last two elections has been, with more than 3 million people voting, decided by fewer than 30,000 votes in 16 and in 20. And candidates other than the two major parties have accounted for tens of thousands of votes, delivering sort of that margin to one or the other. So these are big decisions ahead today. The WEC has already rejected a challenge, as we indicated, to kick the Green Party off the ballot. And that has now been resolved at the state level with the Supreme Court. Notably as well, independent, despite just last week having suspended his campaign, is still likely to appear on the ballot in Wisconsin, where his candidacy could possibly draw some votes away from either candidate, though many public pundits, I suppose, have suggested it would hurt former President Trump more than it would VP Harris. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, you thought that he would siphon more from former President Trump, and now he's endorsing him.
Right. But so can't he just call up or file some sort of paperwork with the WEC and say, I'm out? I mean, why would you put a guy on the ballot who says he's no longer running?
Right.
Well, he previously filed for and met the threshold for inclusion on the ballot here in Wisconsin. And my information this morning from the Elections Commission is that they can't undo that according to their rules. I reached out to the commission. Spokesman Joel Despain got back to me. He said, WEC commissioners will be voting on ballot access for presidential and vice presidential candidates to include Kennedy at the commission meeting. What I can tell you is that once a candidate files for ballot access, there is no mechanism to, quote, take back the filing. So what he's saying is today's vote by the commission on that point is kind of a done deal.
Okay, so, all right, well then, so you're on the ballot no matter what.
So, and WEC is a body of six commissioners. You have three Republicans and three Democrats, and they vote on finalizing this ballot. So it's unclear whether any Republicans might try to get Kennedy's name off. Is there some sort of procedural move that they could make? What they're telling us, again, is that there's not. That doesn't mean they can't raise the issue today.
How many people are they concerned about who would vote for him?
So that's an interesting question. The Trump campaign just last week, just before RFK dropped out or right around that time, released internal polling numbers for Wisconsin. Now, this was in a press release, so take it for what it's worth.
Yep,
but this
is
what the campaign said their polling shows. They say their research in Wisconsin, RFK Jr. is polling at 4% here. That seems high to me, and particularly higher given the recent announcement. That said, that's about 120,000 votes.
Yeah.
Given the margins that we just talked about, like that's enough to swing this thing one way or another. And polls are polls, and Kennedy can say I'm out, but some folks might not even know that, right? Might not even get the memo. Others might not care. They still vote in a protest, vote whatever.
Right,
but
yep,
a name on the ballot is going to get some votes, and it could be enough to be a determining factor in who wins our state in a razor-thin race. Commission meets at 11 a.m. today, 6:15 on Wisconsin's Morning News.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk.
Trading nothing for nobody.
Baskets, time, touchdown, Tennessee. It's Bryce Oliver again, who he found earlier for a long score.
Malik Willis is patient. You have the slot receiver.
Yeah, Malik Willis, that was his final play as a Tennessee Titan when he threw a touchdown on a nice slant.
Who?
Malik Willis is now a Green Bay Packers quarterback. The Packers traded a seventh rounder for him on Monday. Clearly, Green Bay not terribly impressed with their backup options for Jordan Love. Although, given that week one starts a week from Friday, it's possible that Love's backup will be Sean Clifford or Michael Pratt. Don't know if this guy can get up to speed already. Okay, here's what SI.com has to say about the trade. Are you ready?
Yes.
Two league sources were dubious of the move. Both said Willis is a good athlete with a big arm. Both also said he has processing issues, which should come into play as he tries to learn Green Bay's playbook in a hurry. And he's also inaccurate, despite having some solid numbers this preseason. So welcome, Malik Willis. He'll likely end up being a backup QB to Jordan Love.
Well, and you could still keep three QBs on the roster.
That's true.
And then kick somebody else to the practice squad.
So how awkward is
work
today?
But that's a lot invested in that position, right, if you don't like either Clifford or Pratt.
So when Sean and Michael walk into the office today, they're like,
Hey, how's it going?
Got so one of us is gone, right?
I hope it's me. You've had a great camp. I hope. I mean, either way, we're still friends, right?
Yeah, we'll see. Anyway, so we'll probably learn more about that trade today.
Brewers back home tonight against the Giants. New parking rules in effect. The park and scan. You drive into the lot, scan a QR code once you're in to either pay or register your prepaid parking. Brewers VP of Communication Tyler Barnes on Wisconsin's Morning News says it's ready to go despite the glitch-filled opening day debacle.
There was testing in multiple lots, and really the system worked flawlessly. Now we're in a spot where we're very comfortable rolling this back out and look forward to doing it with the Giants series next week.
The lots open 3 hours before game time. First pitch tonight is at 7:10. Summer both heating up and winding down here as the kids are headed back to school soon. We race into Labor Day weekend. Plenty to talk about this morning with founder of Milwaukee with Kids, MKEwithKids.com, Callie Herbst. Morning, Callie.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Hot today. What's in store? You guys got pool day or museum day or what are you doing over there?
It's a pool day over here, so we're going to just hopefully stay cool in the pool.
So leads us perfectly into this. If you need another cool off, tell us about this website that you've been tracking that features all of the custard shop flavors of the day, because we've done this, right? You know you want to do, hey, let's go for custard tonight. Yeah. So what's Oscar's got? What's Cop's got? What do they got at Culver's? And there's a one-stop shop for all that?
Right. And think about how much time it takes to go to all those websites, and it's, you know, just time-consuming. So now it's this genius website called custardmke.com, and there's an interactive map and then a list of all the local custard places. So not only, you know, Cops and Culver's and all of those, but even more of the local places. And, yeah, they just list all the flavors of the day, and it's updated for you, and you don't have to look around.
You know what's going to happen. That means that you're going to have one kid who wants to go one place. You're going to have another kid who wants to go someplace else.
I want mint chip.
There'll be no
That's
agreement.
True. It's just going to cause fights. You're right. But also what I think the guy needs to do who started this, he needs an alert system so you can put in your favorite flavor and get like a notification.
Ooh.
You know?
That's a real thing. There are a couple of flavors in our house that my wife will literally put them on the calendar. Oh, these guys got the banana cream pie, or there's another one, the grasshopper fudge.
It's the little things. These are the important things in life.
Speaking of which, I wanted to ask you about kind of a throwback that's been in the news. These were a staple when I was a kid. Milwaukee police are handing out Brewers trading cards again.
Yeah, this is so nostalgic for me. I can remember being a 5 or 6 year old and getting these police trading cards, these Brewer trading cards from the police. And it was, I mean, when I was a kid, and I'm sure for many listening, that was, you know, how you interacted with that. That was maybe your first interaction with a police officer, you know, up close. And yeah, they're bringing them back. So it'll be current Brewers players. They'll probably include safety tips on them. And it should be starting any day now if it hasn't already.
Are those worth anything, E? Like the old ones? Like if I got 82 police card Brewers somewhere?
If someone's willing to pay for it, then
right.
It's worth
it. Someone's going to pay. So cool event coming to Fiserv Forum as well. If you enjoyed watching the Olympics with the kids, the Gold Over America Tour, headlined by Olympic superstar Simone Biles, is going to be in Milwaukee next month. So what is this? Is like a gymnastics exhibition?
Yeah, they said it's a pop concert style show. But I mean, after the Olympics and just all the excitement, you know, in our house and then all across the country with watching Simone Biles and the whole team, she'll be there. Jordan Childs will be there, and then many, many other Olympic and world champion gymnasts. And it's a really high energy show. Lots of choreography, lots of flipping, and you know, inspirational messages. So, I mean, I think it's for all ages. It's at night, September 28th at night at the Pfizer Forum. So, yeah, all ages, I think.
I like how they're striking when the iron's hot, too. Do it right now. Don't wait a year and then do the tour.
And you're right, Callie. I went to when Paul Hamm won his gold medal in the early 2000s. What was it, 04? I went, he and his brother Morgan were there as part of one of these things at then at the Bradley Center. And right, it's laser shows and lights and flashes and music and stuff. And they're just doing like really fun routines and there's no pressure of competition. So they just throw it all out there.
Oh, it would be amazing. And when I was watching the Olympics this year, I said out loud, I'm like, if I ever had the chance to see her in person doing those flips, it would be amazing. So I think I have to, you know, put my money where my mouth is and go.
For the youngers, if your kids love a good bouncy house, mark next weekend on your calendar for the Summerfest grounds. Big Bounce America is coming. What's that about?
Whoa, if you can see this on social media, it's a massive 900-foot inflatable. It's coming to the Summerfest grounds, September 6th through 8th. I can't even describe it. It's like an explosion of color, the biggest bouncy house you've ever seen, basketball hoops, obstacle courses, a climbing wall. They do separate the sessions by age, so you don't have to worry.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, exactly. So there's a toddler session, a little kid session, a big kid session, and then there's an adult session, too, if you are an adult who just wants to hop around the bouncy house.
I don't know. Are you in on that, E? You hopping around the bouncy house?
Back in the day, now I don't know if the joints will handle it as well. But
not so much.
Right. It's like, how did you break your ankle? And it was at the bouncy house.
I hope not. All right. Great to talk to you, Callie. The website is mkewithkids.com.
Thanks so much.
New parking rules in effect tonight. The Brewers and Giants at American Family Field. Sports at 6:45.
People will never, ever forget the way that you made them feel.
They're back. A social media post this morning from Oasis.
Indefinable.
This is the music from that video that's playing right now on every social media site you can imagine. The band's going to play 14 shows in the UK and in Ireland next year, according to their announcement. So they'll play in Manchester, they're going to play Wembley Stadium, and it sounds like they're even thinking about maybe some North American gigs as well.
So yeah, they're thinking Oasis. About it. These guys didn't get along, right?
Yeah.
Is that why they broke up?
Yeah, Gallagher, they haven't gotten along famously forever. They haven't performed together since a backstage brawl back in 2009. But yeah,
that's tough to come back from. I'll give you that.
You know what is easy to come back to? What's easy to come back to is a lot of money. According to NBC News, this reunion could make them more than $500 million.
Okay, well, bear the hatchet.
So, of course, because, as you know, streaming isn't going to make you the money. The live music for big-name acts is booming, so that's why they're doing this.
So
the Gallagher Brothers return.
To your question as to whether or not there's a North American leg to this tour, yeah, there
will
is. Be. 6:37 on Wisconsin's Morning News. Are you all closed out over there? Are you going to be here now that I can see you?
Are you okay with that? Yeah.
I'm now okay.
Okay, good. I was worried
about
you.
Just a simple reboot. Just a simple reboot there. Good.
Someone was moving Vince's cheese.
It really bothered me. A wild police chase in West Dallas and an incredible end that maybe you're not ready for when I tell you some of the details of how this all played out. Sunday night, police attempting a traffic stop on a speeding car, right? See a car speeding. Try to pull them over. This is near the freeway at Greenfield Avenue. So if you know the spot, I-41 or 894 if you prefer. Cops see a speeding car. They try to pull the guys over. Two people inside. Car takes off. Police chase ensues. Car gets on the freeway headed southbound from Greenfield Avenue. So you're south on the freeway headed off of Greenfield Avenue. Next exit available would be Lincoln. So this speeding car is going southbound and jets off the freeway at Lincoln. And then turns left onto Lincoln. So they'd be heading east. Okay. Everybody following along now? So they're going super fast, try a left turn. Driver loses control. And the car crashes through the barrier and fencing on the overpass and goes flying over, dropping onto the freeway below. There had to be a moment in there where you're
just
aware of what's happening. Is this going on?
We're floating.
So what'd I tell you? Two guys in the car, right? 24-year-old driver, 18-year-old passenger. They have plunged off a 22-foot overpass onto the freeway below. I'll let my friend from TMJ4 News, Susan Kim, tell you what happened next.
Wisconsin DOT footage from safety vid shows two people getting arrested.
Two people getting arrested? They survived?
And they just took him out. Okay, hands behind your back.
He survived.
Wonder if it landed on its wheels instead of like flipping.
It seemed to, I guess it was the video that Susan was referencing there was pretty grainy. I couldn't tell. Mm. That's a good question, Deb. Did they just land straight up?
I feel like it was standing or sitting on its wheels when we saw the video.
I saw the hole in the fence. I've taken that off ramp very often.
Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reports the driver, 24-year-old man from Milwaukee, arrested on suspicion of OWI, causing an injury, fleeing police, second-degree reckless endangerment, and possession of THC. Passenger, 18-year-old Milwaukee man, taken to the hospital for treatment of injuries from the crash. He was not arrested but given a citation for possession of THC. Both had minor injuries. Maybe they were not inspired by the art car. They must not have seen it.
Man, they were so
come on. Right.
But man, they were so relaxed.
Has this not been your experience, both of you, like in covering some spectacular crashes? And I don't mean in a good way, just spectacular in nature.
The amazing survival.
So often, particularly when you have OWIs, as law enforcement will tell you, if people are loose and they don't react the same way as someone who's of full mind at the moment, like tenses up. Their bodies are so relaxed, they sort of just flop around and absorb the impact. But so often in these situations, people survive the most spectacular circumstances.
Yep.
And we have another one. Again, the two arrested after that chase. 6:45 on Wisconsin's Morning News.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk.
Okay, so they got a guy. The Packers apparently weren't terribly impressed with Sean Clifford or Michael Pratt as their backup QB to Jordan Love, so they traded for a guy. Everyone knows Malik Willis.
See, I think you said it right. A guy. They traded for a guy.
So they sent a seventh rounder to the Tennessee Titans for Malik Willis, who's been in the league. He's third round pick back in 2022. Started three games as a rookie. 50% completions, zero touchdowns, three interceptions. Kind of a just a guy.
I think what Willis is, he's a dart throw. This is a mold of clay to work with.
He is a dart throw, Nate Tice, former UW quarterback. He does some work for Yahoo Sports. He was on ESPN Madison giving his reaction. So the Packers threw a dart, and now they have Malik Willis. We'll see what happens.
Cut down days today. Packers need to be at that 53-man roster, so we're going to get a whole bunch of dudes cut today, and we'll find out. So what is that deadline, 3 p.m. our time?
Yes.
So that will come out later today. Brewers at home for a quick three-game series before heading back out on the road. We've got the Giants in town, and the new parking method in effect tonight. Park, scan, and pay.
This type of technology is a game changer. You go right into the parking lot without stopping at a cashier. It should, by all accounts, eliminate or vastly reduce the queues that people have when they're coming into the lots when they're arriving at the ballpark.
That's Brewers VP of Communications Tyler Barnes on Wisconsin's Morning News. Go ahead, ask your question.
Which question? Oh, about whether or not you have to actually scan the QR code?
Yeah, your prepaid parking.
Yeah, if I buy prepaid parking, I still have to scan the QR code or no?
Yes, you still have to activate it. So even if you buy prepaid, once you park, you still have to look for that QR code that's posted around where you park and then register and sort of activate your prepaid parking. Ask your next question.
Why would I do that?
Why would I do the prepaid parking? Because in many cases, I think almost every time, prepaid parking is less expensive and it guarantees you a spot.
All right.
So that's why you would still do the prepaid parking if you so desire. Right, that is in effect tonight. And the lots open 3 hours before game time. It's a 7:10 first pitch against the Giants. And daily tickets now on sale for the 80th U.S. Women's Open at Erin Hills in Washington County. The event is May 26th through June 1st of next year. Heretofore, only the larger packages were on sale. So now you can buy a single day pass for as low as $25 in some cases. Ooh. Text golf to the WTMJ talk and text line 855-616-1620. Golf for more information on tickets. 10 minutes before 7 o'clock on Wisconsin's At 7 minutes before 7 o'clock on Wisconsin's Morning News, I've always kind of been divided on the issue of the scooters in Milwaukee. These, you know, rent-a-ride electric scooters, they're zipping all around the city, and there's an interesting problem that's developed and one possible solution for it. More on that in a moment. You have two scooter operators after first them just sort of showing up on the streets and then multiple trial periods over years here in Milwaukee. They are now approved to operate in the city. Spin and Lime are the ones. There was another company out there for a while as well.
Bird,
yeah,
something like that.
They might have been the first.
Bird scooters.
But it's Spin and Lime that are authorized to operate in the city. I think Lime is the more popular of the two, but they both operate in the same way. It's app-based technology. You have an account. You pay per minute on the scooter. You activate the scooter on the app. You take your ride to wherever, you shut it down, and then you pay digitally. Unlike the bubbler bikes, which have docking bays and sort of a home,
right,
so to speak, these scooters are just sort of left wherever you end your ride across the city, which in addition to as a driver and pedestrian being sort of annoyed by them has also given me pause as to whether I supported the city's move to allow them. They look bad.
Yeah, they're just kind of
just there
laying in the grass sometimes on the side of the road.
There's one that's like a half beat away from where we actually enter the parking garage.
I noticed that this morning.
Right? Still there.
Just in the driveway almost.
It's been at least 2-3 days, right. Just almost there, right? Reason to support? I mean, young people in particular seem to like these. They're all over major cities across the U.S. I want us to be a progressive city that people want to be in. And if this helps, despite the fact that I'm not going to use them or somehow old man annoyed by them.
And they do get used.
Yes.
I mean, there are definitely people using them.
So we are where we are. Here's the recent problem, as detailed in a piece by the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel this week. Lime is rolling out a parking blitz plan, which, according to the piece, will introduce mandatory parking zones in high traffic areas such as historic Third Ward, Brady Street, North Avenue, South Shore Park. The mandatory parking zones are highlighted for riders in the Lime app. This is apparently in response to people's complaints that these things are being dumped all over the place, including, in some cases, as we just detailed, blocking sidewalk access, blocking bike lanes. If there's one thing the city desperately wants to protect, is these
bike lanes
that they're spending millions of dollars to put up, or chalk lines all over the city. And cyclists, in fairness, don't want to have to navigate around an obstacle course of scooters all in their lane, right? They expect to be able to do their thing. So JS was following up with a guy who works at a retirement home on the east side. And he contacted the Journal Sentinel complaining that these scooters are all over the place and some of his folks have trouble getting around. Walker, wheelchair, what have you, they're having problems using the public thoroughfare, the sidewalks, because these scooters are all over the place. So Lime, according to the piece, has at least one potential solution. They're going to set up designated parking zones in those high traffic areas, and then the app basically won't allow the user to end the ride anywhere other than in those zones. So you can dump it, but tick-tock,
you'll still
be paying, right?
Okay.
This is what the piece says. The system is set up, here's a quote, quote, set up so people cannot end their rides via the Lime app when they are not at the right place in a mandatory parking zone. That's Calvin Elmore, Lime operations manager for Milwaukee. So that sounds like a potential solution.
See one little area with a whole bunch of them all piled up.
But at least they're in one spot
and they're
not in the middle of the sidewalk or on the side of the road. Maybe it'll work, maybe it won't. But it at least sounds like a good faith effort from the operator to respond to issues and concerns that were raised. One of my favorite parts to close this out in the JS story, the reporter is talking about the guy who contacted them about this problem, right? And the story says he wrote in an email to Public Investigator, which is the JS investigative unit, right? Looking for help here, adding he already had reached out to his alderman and other local officials who said they could not do anything about the problem.
Sorry, can't help you.
Can't help you. Nothing we can do. I don't know. It sounds like this potential solution was thought up fairly quickly.
Interesting.
Yeah, maybe it works, maybe it doesn't, but clearly there was some conversation
some
to be had.
Some type of solution created, at least an attempt.
But city officials, rather than be the broker on behalf of their resident, their concerned resident, their constituent, try to find a solution, nothing we can do about it.
Yeah.
You know, sign the contracts. Good work done there at City Hall. 657 on Wisconsin's Morning News.